God is good, not just summertime, but all the time. God is good. Amen. We have, he's blessed us to see this a new day, one we've never seen before and we'll never see it again. Amen. But up to this point, God has blessed us to be able to see this day. There will be some who will not see the end of this day. Some who woke up this morning did not see, did not wake up this morning to even see the beginning of this day. So we should be thankful.
Amen.
Just to have this moment in time. Amen?
Amen.
If you're visiting with us, you experience a New Testament pattern of worship where we sing without the help of mechanical instruments and music. We will pray. Men will work in the services. Women are not ushers. They don't preach here. None of those things. All men does do everything. We take the Lord's Supper every Sunday. You'll notice that. We take the collection. Notice we don't holler about tithing. Neither do we send the plate around more than once. We believe that God loves a cheerful giver.
Amen.
And those who know him and pardon their sin and are grateful for his son, sending his son, and his son gave his life on a hill called Calvary. And there he suffered, bled, and died that we could have a hope of eternal life. Amen. We believe that people understand that he paid the greatest price and nothing we put into play would ever equal to what he's done for us. Therefore, we know those of us who know God and know the truth will give according as we prosper. Amen.
Amen.
In our hearts. This morning, we're going to go John chapter 8. Go back to John chapter 8. If you're visiting with us and not a member of the Church of Christ, we want you to be a member of the Church of Christ. Amen. We want you to obey the truth before it's eternally and everlastingly too late. Amen. We don't know when life's going to end, but we do know we all going to die. It's appointed unto man once to die, and after that, there will be a judgment. So you believe Jesus died for your sins according to Scripture. You can repent of your sins today. Confess unto me before this audience to be the Son of God, and we will carry out his command to baptize you for the remission of your sins. And you're not saved until you do that. Then the Lord would add you to the true church. Amen. The Church of Christ, the only one you read about in the Bible.
Amen.
Thank you all for tuning in to the lectureship. I got bounced, 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 felt like a bouncing ball, I guess. They kept moving me from one spot to another. I finally got on late night, but we had a good audience at the lectureship and had a wonderful time. Brother Stroud will speak more on that later. John chapter 8, we're about to wrap up this chapter. John, the book of John has been a wonderful, wonderful study. And certainly for me, and I know hopefully for you as well. John chapter 8. We're going to finish that chapter. I think we preached like four or five sermons just from chapter 8 itself. And today, before Abraham was, I am. Before Abraham was, I am. Let's pick up in verse 44. Let's pick up the thought there, and we'll go forward to the main text. Verse 44.
Ye are of your father, the devil.
Yeah.
And the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him.
Yeah.
When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, ye believe me not.
Yeah, so Jesus dropped the bomb on him. Well, if you want to hear all of that, you go next, the last sermon from last week, I dealt with how he was a beginning. In the beginning, he lied in the garden against him, in Garden of Eden, rather. And so I deal with all that. But I had to recap to get to that. They upset him. You know, it's one thing to call a brother child of God. It's another thing to say, your daddy is the devil. Mm. Amen. You know, that doesn't feel good, don't sound good, and no one want to be called the devil. We talked about that last week, but however, you can't straddle the fence. Mm. I mean, either you're serving God or you're serving the devil. You serve to whom you obey. Anyone who don't obey God, there's only one other option, and that is the devil. Amen. And so here it is. Jesus has dropped the bomb on these Jews, and these guys are upset at him because he called them the child of the devil. Verse 46, he said, which of you are convincing me of sin?
And if I say the truth, why do you not believe me?
He said, now, he challenged him, prove that what I'm saying is a lie like your daddy, the devil. Prove I'm lying. And they can't do it. And they can't prove it lying. He says, then if you can't prove a I'm lying, why don't you believe the truth? And then so in verse number 47, he said,
he that is of God hears God's words.
Here's the person. A person that God is their father, they hear God's word. They hear God's word. And if I, and he says, and
ye therefore hear them not.
You don't hear God.
Because ye are not of God.
Here's the reason you don't hear God's word. Because you are not of God. He said, you're not a child of God. The difference between a child of God and a child of the devil is a child of God would do, hear, and keep the words of his father. And that is God. And so if you're not honest today and you're not obeying God, you are a child of the devil. That's a hard saying. But that is what Jesus is identifying here. He said, you are of your father, the devil. And the reason I know is because you're not doing what God told you to do. And then now in verse number 48, then answered the Jews.
And said unto him, say we not well that thou art a Samaritan and hast a devil?
Now, it's an insult to call a Jew a Samaritan. It's a, kind of like a racist term would be for us if somebody used N-word on us. That's kind of what they just done. They just insulted. They were trying to insult him. And then he told him that not only are you just like Samaritans, but you are got a devil. You're a devil yourself. So they are firing back. They're firing back. Now, this is what happens when people get upset at you. They're starting to fire back. Application. This can happen today. When people are looking for something, when people want to find something wrong with you, they can find it. And notice this. We say things like sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. But the truth is words can hurt. And the truth is, the Bible teaches us that the tongue is a powerful little member of our body. And here's the thing about the tongue. Once you pull the trigger, you can't take the bullet back. Amen. You can ask for forgiveness. What you've said, you've said. What you've done, you've done. The damage is done. That's why we are to be slow. Swift to. As Christians, we ought to be honest. If you're upset with someone about something, then the best approach is to go to the individual. I don't know why this is so difficult. But being in the church 32 and being around church folk, the most difficult thing for church folks to me is to go to the individual. And then they'll write it off like, oh, they're unapproachable. No, your responsibility is to go to the person. That is what God says. And he says we ought to go to the individual. In most cases, it's a misunderstanding. In many cases, it can be explained. But in all types of relationships are broken because of this type of mindset or behavior, that in marriages are torn apart because the husband and the wife don't communicate on the issue. That's why. You got this thing going on in your mind, and you want to say it, and you're thinking it, but you're not saying it. And so you're thinking it, and you're not saying it, but when two people love each other, whether it's a courtship, a relationship, a boyfriend, girlfriend, a husband, a wife, a brother and sister in Christ, love should bring us into a communication that we both are listening and not speaking at the same time. That is another problem in marriages and in relationships. I just stay with relationships because it's throughout the church. If we say we love each other, but we can't have a communication in love, then that's not love. Amen. True love allows for ear. Then we listen to the other person. People are hurting. When people are hurting, they want you to listen. So that's what keeps a marriage bonded. That I got a listening ear. The other person concerned about me. I want to tell you guys something about marriages and relationships. Here's the thing we all need to know about this. Is that when you're looking at the bond of a relationship, love is the glue. It's the glue. It'll get you through anything. Love never fails. It gets you through anything. So before you start discussing divorcing and doing those kind of things, Tap into the degree of love you have each other. Now, let me give you brothers some keys, some notes here. This is off my lesson plan, but I'm going to tell you anyway. And I'm not being arrogant by saying that. I'm just saying I'm going to tell you this because you need to know it. There's this thing called care love that we give to our children. If they fall, we grab them and pick them up. Why? We care. Care love goes further than words and anything else. Sometimes we just stop, brothers, and show our wives we care. And I'll give you an example of my wife. So with diabetes, and that, this, I'm talking about me. This is sometimes I just go in there and I prick a finger for her and I check it for her just to show I know I care. Now that get me some money in the love bank. You know, every once in a while you want to make a little deposit. Good returns on those things as well, if y'all know what I mean. Yeah, every once in a while you just cook for her. Man, I put some ribs on, and oh, my goodness, my ribs are the best. They the bomb when she eating them. It matter, it probably don't even matter how they taste. It's just the fact that I went in there and made an effort to what? I showed I what? Care. Care love. And so what I'm getting at, in the case of people who are looking for reasons to destroy a relationship, it can be done if you're looking for it. If you're looking for some things, but this also can be saved because communication and love going together can resolve issues that you would not be resolved if you didn't disclose the concerns. Amen? Amen. So you say, what's principle, y'all? Wisdom. Wisdom is principle. Use wisdom. But all you'll get and get what? Understanding. So often, because we don't have a good understanding, things end up wrong. Individuals end up hurt. In the case with Jesus, they're going to kill him. They're going to kill him, but it ain't always misunderstanding. It's not always lack of love. It's not always, it's not always love issue. Sometimes it's an ill motive and evil intent. Let's just be real. There are people in this world that are evil. They are just evil. Their intent is evil. Their motives are evil. In the case of these Jews, they're going to kill Jesus. Their motive to kill him will be carried out because that was their intent. My point, if it's bad motive, it's from an evil heart, it has an evil intent by the individual, then you and I cannot stop someone from harming us who have evil intent. What I mean by that is that you can't change the behavior of the other person, but you can let go and let God deal with it. Amen. So why fret over someone who has evil intent, nothing good for you? They're not trying to be your friend. They're not trying to see anything good in you. Then why do you fret rather than say, you know what, I'm going to pray for them. I'm going to pray God help them. Because God is the only one can help some people. You know that? They're never going to change. They're going to die in their sins. I just hope it don't be me. Amen. And that's where you got to resolve it. You know, I got to work on just making sure I don't do it. But me spending my whole day or night trying to change somebody to believe like me or to think like me or to like me or to go along with me or whatever the case may be, whether it's in marriage relationship, church relationship, whatever it is, jobs on the job. I mean, it can fret people on the job because of this kind of stuff. But when you got God as your focus, man, God is bigger than anything in your life. And the Bible says, if God be for you, who can be against you? So what do you say in a case when you got people going against you? You say, you know what? You just a who. And God move who's out the way. Amen. If you turn, God is bigger than the enemy. Yeah. So let's go back to, in the end, these Jews would answer to God. And Jesus knows that. But look at his response. Jesus answered
I have not a devil, but I honor my Father, and ye do dishonor me.
Now, he just came out and answered him. He said, no, I don't have no devil. But what I do is honor my what? My Father. You are dishonoring me. That's really what's going on. He's telling the truth. I don't have a devil. You know, he said, I seek not my own glory, not by me.
There's one that seek it and judge it.
Judge it. Now, his answer is that the problem is not me with the devil. The problem is that you say God is your, you serve the same God I do, and you don't. You're saying God is your Father, and he's not. The devil is your Father. Basically, what he's recapping here to him. But the application for us is what someone says about you, it doesn't have to upset you. Did he get upset? No. He didn't get upset. He kept his cool. He maintained his posture, and he kept his position. Mm-hmm. He didn't change the position. The position was true.
Right.
They were of their father, the devil. Mm-hmm. That was a true statement. And so when I'm saying Jesus didn't get upset, and we don't have to get upset, in other words, we should be sober and in control as Christians. When you see Christians blowing up, they are not temperate. They're not self-controlled or sober. And as Christians, and we should be sober-minded, in control, and temperate, maintaining our control of our lives, our mouths, our actions, our behaviors, our outbursts. Mm-hmm. So Jesus did that. Then he says, verily, verily,
I say unto you,
if a man
keep my saying, he shall never see death.
If a man keep my saying, now Jesus is talking about eternal death. Eternal death is when you are separated from God for the rest of eternity. Amen. For all of eternity. There's no end to eternity. So he's talking about spiritual death, and he's saying, this is what you need to know, sin can separate you from God in this life. But if you die in that sin, it separates you from God eternity. So this is what he's talking about. He's talking about spiritual death. But notice how they take him. Then said the Jews unto him.
Now we know that thou hast a devil.
Now we know. You crazy. They think he's, they thinking physical death. He said, if a man keep me, he ain't going to never die. They said, he crazy. Sure enough, God. He deranged. He crazy now. I know you got a devil in you. That's what he said. See, I said, the Jews said, now we know. You got that devil. That's what we were saying. Notice what he said. Abraham
is dead.
Abraham dead.
And the prophets.
The prophets are dead.
And thou sayest.
And you telling us.
If a man keep my
saying. If a man can't do what you say.
He shall never taste of death.
He ain't gonna never die. Now you can understand these Jews. They really got this guy here. He's off the chain, if they say today. And then he says.
Art thou greater than our father Abraham, which is dead?
Let's do a comparison. Now, Abraham was a great man, would y'all say? Mm-hmm. Yeah, Abraham was a great man. He was a patriarch. And so these Jews say, man, Abraham, one of the great men of the Old Testament. And they say, are you saying that? Now, Abraham, he died. Abraham was a great man, but he's dead. And then he says what?
And the prophets are dead.
The prophets, Jeremiah, Isaiah, all of them, got Daniel, they dead.
Who makest thou thyself?
Now, who you think you are? If Abraham died, he was great. If Isaiah died, he was great. Jeremiah, if dead, who you think you are, sir? These guys are kind of upset to him. They think he just got the big head. Yeah. That's what Jesus is.
Jesus answered, if I honor myself.
Now, here's how it just seems like it's that Jesus just cool, calm, and collected right now. He said, you know, if I honor myself.
My honor is nothing.
I'm not talking about me.
It is my Father that honored me.
Yeah, it's my Father that honors who I am.
Of whom you say.
Now, you say.
That he is your God.
He didn't say Father. He said, you say he's your God. Now, that's who you say, the guy I'm honoring. And you say he's your God. Then he said.
Yet ye have not known him.
But now he's going to come back and say, you don't know him. You don't know God.
But I know him.
But I know God.
And if I should say. I know him not.
I know him not.
I shall be a liar like unto you.
I don't know God. I ain't no different from you. So, you know, the devil was the father of lies. And if I say I don't know God, then I'm a liar just like y'all lying.
But I know him.
But I do. I'm telling the truth.
And keep his saying.
And I'm going to do what he told me to do. Your father.
A Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad.
Now, Abraham and other prophets believed in Jesus not because they saw them with their physical eyes. They saw them with their eyes of faith. See, they believed because they believed the word of God. Hebrews chapter 11. Get that for me. In the Hebrew hall of faith. In Hebrews 11 and verse number 13. The Bible says this in verse 13. These all died in faith. Not having received
the promises,
but
having seen them afar off.
What do they see with their physical eyes? No. They see them with their spiritual eyes of faith. They seen them afar off
and were persuaded of them.
And embraced what God said. What God promised to Abraham, he believed it, he went, and he embraced it. Now, these Jews are standing there looking right at Jesus. They look, it reminds me of Pilate. Pilate was standing in front of Jesus, and he asked Jesus, what is truth? And he was looking right at truth. Truth was standing in front of him. Jesus, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Didn't he say that? So truth was right there in front of his physical eyes, and he didn't believe it. Now, what my point is today, the application, many of our friends and family and loved ones are going to be lost because their faith or their belief is not based on the word of God.
Amen.
Not. Our faith today comes by hearing, Romans 10:17, and hearing what? The word of God. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith is impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must what? Believe. What must they believe? What they see or what they read? We must believe what we read. Here's why most of America is going to be lost. It's because most people don't read. It's the most sold book in the world, but less read. Mm-hmm. Want to know why they don't read it? Because they go up and stand before a man like me, and some of you may be guilty. And the only word you get is what somebody tell you. You never read for yourself. And that is not something we should be I'm encouraging these membership here. You should be reading John chapter 9 for me next Sunday. You do that. You need to read for yourself. Amen, somebody. See, many of us have a belief system that is not based on what we read in the scripture. And I know me coming out of the Baptist faith, nothing wrong with Baptist people. But the belief wasn't biblical. It wasn't a Bible-based belief. Simply put, there's no church, the church called Baptist in the Bible. Where did I get that from? My mother, my daddy. That was a belief system that came from upbringing, not from the Bible. At some point, you got to stand. Mama ain't going to stand by you. Dad ain't going to be with your judgment. We got to stand before God for our own self and our belief. If you are wise and you're a smart man or woman, you will line up with the scripture before you die. Amen, somebody. If a person really wanted to be saved, they would go to this book, and if they say they believe in Jesus, then they would believe to do, to be saved, what Jesus said to do.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And Mark, it amazes me how people say they believe in Jesus, but you go to Mark 16:15. If we believe in Jesus, why wouldn't we believe what he said do to be saved? In Mark 16:15-16, Jesus said this after his resurrection. He said that go into all the world
and preach the gospel,
to every creature. Notice what he said.
He that believeth and accepts
Jesus as a personal Savior shall be saved. He that believe it
and is baptized
and repeat after me, Lord, I'm a sinner, come into my heart, I accept you my personal Savior, is saved.
He didn't say that. No.
Joe Osteen say that. Billy Graham say that. T.D. Fake say that. The local reverend down the street saying that. But to be saved, you ought to listen to the Savior. The Savior didn't say that. What did he say? He that believe it
and is baptized
shall be saved. Matthew 28:18. Listen to him. Listen, I'm just saying, if a person really wanted to be saved by Jesus, it seems to me the logical thing would be, let's just do what Jesus said do. Amen. Well, you say amen to the truth. It just seemed logical to me. Listen to the Bible, Matthew 28:18. It says, Bible says, all, Jesus said what? All power. I'm trying to let my reader get there. Now, I can quote these, but that little phone got a glitch in it today.
Matthew 28:18.
Nice talk. Yes, sir.
And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying,
28:18.
All power is given.
Now he said, all power
is given unto me in heaven.
Now, if all power is given to him, is there any left? No. So, Reverend Joe going to have a power that he, did he leave in for Reverend Joe? Mm. What about Father John? What about Dr. Robert? None for Reb, none for the father, and none for the doctor. Ain't no power left. He said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Read it.
Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost.
Y'all think if Jesus says something one time, it's right?
Yes. Yes.
What if he said it twice? What if you don't believe and be baptized? Who's wrong?
Me.
You. Because you didn't believe the master. You didn't believe what he said. And this is, and sadly to say, many of people that we love and know and friends, family members, have this belief that long as I believe in Jesus, I don't have to do what he say, that belief will get me home. And it won't. Just like if you're not doing this, doing remembrance of me weekly, as he commanded, you're not going to heaven, you're in commune. Let's see. If we believe Abraham, if we believe Jesus, if we believe the prophets, if we believe Peter, James, and John, if we believed in Peter and what Peter said in the scripture, then we know in 1 Peter 3:21, baptism saves us. You would believe that baptism what?
Saves.
And so what I'm trying to get us to see is that belief must be based on scripture to have a faith base. So I said, we're faith-based believers. Or we're faith-based. What does that mean? That's supposed to mean that we walk by faith and not by
sight.
Faith is the substance, sub to my standing. It's the substance of things I hope for. The evidence of things I ain't never seen. I hope for what I stand on. So if a church is faith-based, it's doing exactly what the scripture says.
Amen.
Every church that say they are faith-based is not faith-based.
Amen.
Matthew 15:8, Jesus said, this people draw nigh unto me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. If people believe the Bible, they believe in one God, Jehovah, one Lord, that's Jesus, one Holy Spirit, one baptism in water. It'll be a barrier. You can't find sprinkling. You can't find pouring. You find no babies being baptized. You wouldn't baptize a baby if you believe this, if you were faith-based.
Amen.
A baby can't believe in Jesus. All they know is they want some milk.
Amen.
You would believe in one Lord, one faith, and one God, and one church, one body, the church. The church, the Bible says there's only one church. And the Bible teaches us that the church is the wife of Christ. And I have but one wife in this audience. And the way we're going to know which one it is when I say Sharon Brooks. Now, if my brother was here, I have to make sure I clarify that a little better. I'm saying I'm not talking about my brother Sharon Brooks either. He got a Sharon Brooks. Sharon Ann Brooks. But I think that's all he went down through Texas looking for a Sharon Ann Brooks because he wanted to be so much like me. And what I told him, I said, boy, you want to be like me. When you got a woman with the same identical name. And then the other thing, like, my little brother had a Sharon Ann right before he died. It was his girlfriend was named Sharon Ann. So we were all into them Sharon Anns. But there ain't but one Sharon Ann in this room that's mine.
Amen.
Where you at, baby? Where you raise your hand? Now, she don't mess around and change seats on me. Now, I done told her about that girl. I thought that was a little trick she pulled on me. I said, what you doing moving? You know I'll be watching what you be doing. I moved on this side. I thought I'd change my seat. I said, you don't do nothing like that without my approval. Uh-oh. Of course, you see she's still over there. But I was getting it. My point was that the reason the church is referred to as the Church of Christ is not a name. The wife of Tommy, it describes who she belonged to. Mm. Amen. Church of Christ describes that the church belongs to Christ. Amen. Now, you know what? I'll tell you what. I try to preach where if somebody's standing by me on the day of judgment, and we standing by each other, and they stand by me, and they was in my audience, and they messed around and went to one of my classes, I'm going to make sure that they've heard it clear enough where it's A, B, C, 1, 2, 3. And me and you standing by God, and you was in my audience, or you was in my class, and I told you. And God say, I see right here, Tommy, you was at Brooke, one of Brooke's classes. I know he tell you about Church of Christ. He told you about day, told you about baptism. He told you to remember my son every week. He told you that one church. He told you to stay away from doctrine. I see all that on your record here. But I see you didn't get baptized. And you didn't believe the church, did you? You went to the once a month communion. That was not commanded. Brooks, I see you told him you did good. I said, yes, sir, I told him. I sure did. I told him, Lord. I told him. I said, it wasn't me, Lord. It wasn't me. Amen. And then when he going to say, well done. I said, thank you. And I'm going to look over there and say, see you. It's too late for me to help you then. That's what I'm saying. You said, well, when did I try to help you? When you were listening to me teach. And not only did I try to help you, I give you book, chapter, and verse for it. Amen. Speak what the Bible speaks. Be silent where the Bible is silent. Let's get on to the move. That was good right there. Yeah. We got to be warned, even in the Church of Christ, that we don't get caught up in traditional. Traditions of somebody saying something right. Man, give me some Bible. You know, we got a bad habit of doing. So, well, I just feel like. You don't need to stop that I just feel like stuff. Your feelings can be absolutely contrary to the scripture. I just feel we ought to be doing it anyway. Give me some Bible. What are you feeling? We're not interested in how you feel. You don't see nobody feeling their way to New York. They read the map. Feel my way home. No, you drive and you follow directions. Amen. Here are the directions to heaven in the book.
Amen.
Let's go back to John so I can get back to this, to the last part of this lesson here. I'm feeling pretty good coming out of San Diego from the National. It was a good experience. Let's go back. Let's go. Verse 57.
Then said the Jews unto him,
yeah.
Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham?
They all messed up. They said, man, you're only 50 years old. Abraham been dead over 2,000 years. Now, you look at them. Look at them. That makes sense what they're saying. Now you talking about you seen Abraham. Jesus said,
verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am.
Then they took up the stone
to cast at him.
They trying to kill him. But Jesus hid himself and went out
of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by.
Yeah, the young folks say Jesus dipped on out of there. Yeah, he dipped on out. So what happened? What happened? He came, he dropped the bomb on him. He dropped it. He dropped it on him, and he says this: the profound affirmation is that before, man, you talk about Abraham, I'm only 50. You trying to say I'm only 50? I'm only 50. Let me tell you something. Before Abraham was, I am. In other words, before Abraham ever breathed in his body, I was. I am. He's making a profound affirmation that I was in the beginning. In the beginning was God, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God. Verily, verily. Truly, truly. When God said, let us make man in our own image, it was the Father the Son, and the Holy Ghost as one God.
Amen.
Jesus, I was there in the beginning. I was there before Abraham ever existed. And then he says, before Abraham was, I am. He said this because of Exodus chapter 3. Y'all remember the story of Exodus, right? When Moses, God went to Moses, go to Exodus chapter 3 and the verse number 11. And God was going to send Moses. Moses said, man, I can't even talk right. And all that. He said, who made your mouth? If God is on your team, man, you can say some things. Amen, somebody. When God is with you, you're going to be all right. And he said, and so in Exodus chapter 3 and verse 11, Moses said to God, who am I?
That I should go unto Pharaoh.
Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh
and bring forth the children of Israel out of Egypt?
And he said,
certainly I will be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee.
Yeah. God said, I'm going to be with thee. Yeah, read.
When thou hast brought forth the people out of Egypt, ye shall serve God upon this mountain.
And Moses speaks back to God.
And Moses said unto God, behold, when I come unto the children of Israel,
it shall say unto them,
the God of your fathers hath sent me unto you.
Yeah.
And they shall say to me,
okay,
what is his name?
And he said, they're going to say, God sent me to y'all. He said, what is his name?
What should I say unto them?
Well, he said, what I say, here's what God said. God said unto Moses,
I am that I am.
Tell them, I am
that I am.
That I am. And then he says,
Thus shalt thou say unto the children of Israel,
I am.
Had sent me
unto you. Identifies God. It identifies Jehovah. He's the Godhead of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. He said, I am that I am sent you. That's who you tell him to see. And Jesus was there. He was with him. And Jesus makes these I am statements. In John chapter 6, he said, I am the bread of life. John 8, I am the light of the world. John 10, I am the door of the sheep. John 10, I am the good shepherd. John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. John 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 15, I am the true vine. And he nails it right here in John 8. He said, before Abraham was, I am. I'm so glad I served the great I am. Amen. I am. I am, ladies and gentlemen, neighbors and friends. This will be the reason that they kill him. Because he was. I am. And the centurion soldier, when they killed him, centurion soldier said, truly, this was the Son of God. You say, Brother Brooks, what is the whole message here? I know who I serve. I know in whom I serve. I know who he is. He is the great I am. I serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. No matter what trial I go through, I am is there. No matter what tribulation I deal with, I am is with me. When I go to the doctor, I am is with me. If I go to the courts with the lawyer, I am is my lawyer. I am is my doctor. I am is my man who's with me. I serve the great I am. What did I am do for us? The great I am so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, and that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And it was that I am that came down from heaven's glory and took off that robe of divinity, put on a robe of humanity, came through a virgin birth as the only begotten of the Son of God. He was the only begotten, the first and ever, and the first and last Son of God that would be born through a virgin Mary. Yes, he was still God when he was on the earth. Yes, he came through in I am, grew up in stature, rode into Jerusalem. I am was on the back of the donkey. Am I right about it? They lay Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna in the highest. When he rode into Jerusalem, he's riding into Jerusalem to go to the crucifixion. The great I am, the I am. Jesus was the I am that was in the Garden of Gethsemane and prayed three times. The I am went to six trials at night. The I am was beaten with a whip collar of flagellum. The I am, they place a crown of thorns on I am's head, amen. A robe on his back.
and put a tree on of the cross on I Am's back, and up the hill called Calvary, I Am went up there, and then nails drove in I Am's hand. They drove nails in I Am's feet. And it was there he would hang as the great I Am 6 long hours as the Son of Man. 6 hours he would suffer for mankind who would believe by faith according to the scripture that he would be their Savior. He would lay that a sheep to the slaughter, and before his shearers dumb, he would open not his mouth. He would be there for our transgressions. He'd be wounded for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace would be upon him, and by his stripes we would be healed. The stripes of the blood coming from the stripe from the whipping, it would be that blood that would purchase his church. It'll be that same blood that will wash mankind's sins away. It was I Am who said that. Baptism for the remission of sins. This you do in remembrance of me. His blood was shed for the remission of sins. Then they took him. I Am hung 6 hours. At midday, at noon, the dark sun darkened, the land darkened. The S-U-N went out. And when he said, I am the light of the world, when it got dark, the S-O-N shined to the world. Salvation, that I Am was brightly shining all over this world. And he would hang there in darkness for 3 other hours. And finally, at 3 o'clock that afternoon, he would die. He would say the profound words of, it's finished. I Am had carried out the Father's will. And they took him down. After piercing him in the side came the blood, came the water. The same blood and water up there by faith. We step in baptism, bleed blood and water. Blood and water came out. Blood and water washed his sins away. They took him down, buried him in a tomb. But early Sunday morning, he got up with power. Power. Power, I say. To save the world. And by mercy, it's by grace that we're going to be saved. He was grace on the cross. He was mercy on the cross. He was our grace. He was our mercy. He would hang for us. He would die for us. He gave us a chance. And I'm going to tell you something. Ain't one of us in here who don't need grace and mercy. It's not a one of us in here don't need forgiveness. It's not a one of us in here who don't need chances over and over and over. Sometimes you appeal for 1 second chance when God repeatedly gives you a chance over and over and over. Because he's God. He's God. And because God loves us, he gave all of us a second chance to be in this assembly this morning. Amen. What is that chance for? It's another chance, but it may be the last chance. So when he got up after being buried, he gave the command, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And I just done that, that suffering story of the cross. You got to believe that with all of your heart. You got to repent. You got to say, I cannot leave without God as my Father. Amen. I hear you, Brother Brooks. You got to confess Jesus to be the Son of God before men. He said it like this in Matthew 10:32. If you'll confess me before men, I will confess you before my Father. You deny me in front of men, I'm going to deny you before him. So what are you saying? While we are living, we better have done some things. We better have heard the conclusion of the matter of life is to fear God and keep his commandments, for that is the whole duty of man. Hear him, believe him, repent because of what he's done for you. Confess him before this audience, before men. Be baptized immediately for the remission, forgiveness, the washing away of your sins. Amen. Let God give you the Holy Spirit. Add you to the true church, the church of Christ. Hold to the Bible, it'll never change. Leave the Bible, you call it what you want to call it. Stay with the Bible, you got to do it the way God said do it. Why? Before God, before Abraham was, I am. With profound affirmation of who Jesus is. He was and is the Son of God. Amen. You know what I'm thankful for? Is that I look back at my life. If I could undo some stuff, I would do it. If I could take back some stuff, I would take it back. If God gave me an eraser, he said, Tommy, erase stuff you don't want in your life that you don't want to be reminded of. Erase it, son. I gave you an eraser. I would say, Lord, I want to start all the way back when I was a young boy. And I would come through my life, and I would have a bunch of stuff that I just erased it. And I will feel better. Because some stuff you ain't proud of. Some stuff you know hurt people. But you know what? God ain't going to give me no erasing. But he do give me mercy. He says, son, your sins I remember no more. He erases it from his book. But he don't want me to erase it. You know why? We need to remember what we do to hurt people. We need to remember what we do. As long as we're reminded, we'll learn not to do it again. That's what we do. And that's what God gives us to do. And I'm saying to all of us, God has done his part. He has shown his grace on the cross. And today he extends mercy to each one of us. If there's somebody here today, you've been going through stuff with your health, your family, situations in your life. God has given you chance. He's given you mercy. He's got you opportunity to come and ask the church to pray with you and pray for you. The prayers avail much of the righteous people. That's what God says. His eyes are over the righteous. His ears are open to their prayer. I don't know what you're involved in. I don't know what you're going through or what you're coming out of. Sometimes we're in storm. Sometimes we're coming out of storm. Sometimes we're getting ready to go into a storm. Sometimes we have to go around storm. Sometimes we go under storm. Sometimes we go over storm. But we're going through some stuff. But only mercy. In the wings of mercy, we fly by some things. And God said, I'm gonna let you make it on this one. And it's the wings of mercy. And I want to say to you today, if you're not a Christian, oh, God has given you mercy. He's given you a chance. And you ought to take this time today and come down here today and let us baptize you. And you leave saying, what is it that done it? If Jesus said, before Abraham was, I am. He told you who he was. He died for you. He affected your life. You can respond today. We got a song of encouragement. And we want you to come. What we want to do, we want those people who have never been baptized, not members of the Church of Christ. You say, Brother, I was baptized before that baptism. If you didn't end up in the Church of Christ, that wasn't the one in the Scripture. Amen. You got to do it according to the Scripture. You say, well, who else should come? Those who need to come back home. You've been away too long. You need to restore. You need to come down and ask God to forgive you. And then those who need prayer, you're going through some things, and you know God is able. Don't y'all know God is able? If you know God is able, then you know God is merciful. Then won't you come as together we stand and sing this song.